This is the public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. This week we present part one of a lecture by Imam Muhammad recorded on the campus of Southern University, November the 4th, 1993 in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Wheeler, Ashraf Hussein, and Imam Alvin Sharif, and all of those who have worked to make this possible for us today, we are honored, and it is indeed our pleasure to have opportunity to speak on or to address Islam in America. We first acknowledge the one God of us all. We give him praise, who is Lord of all the worlds. And we pray as Muslims the traditional prayer of blessings and peace and blessings on Muhammad for us, who is the last prophet and the servant messenger of God, and what follows of that salutation or that salute to the last prophet. Oh, friends and people and supporters, Muslims of Hattiesburg, distinguished persons on the campus here, students, I would think that Islam in America was not known until Muhammad Ali, the world champion. But I am aware that Islam was brought to the notice of the American people before Muhammad Ali came into view as a convert of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a Muslim. Al-Islam in America began with the first appearance of a Muslim on the continent of America. Recently, an author of a well-documented discourse on what he says pre-Columbus voyage visits by Arabs to this part of the world, the New World, that is. How sound or how valid his claim is has to be tested still further, but it is very impressive, and to me it was a well-documented claim that this author made. It is accepted that our big and small towns in America, dating back to more than 100 years ago, Detroit, one of them that stands out in my memory right now, the town where a sizable number of nationalized citizens lived who came from the Mideast, Muslims, we believe they were at that time during the early 30s, and today there is still a very large community of nationalized citizens from the Middle East living in the Detroit and Detroit area. When I was born in the year 1933, my parents were living on a street named for some of these early nationalized citizens. The street is Yemen Street, and the name to me is an obvious proof of the fact that there was an Arab community there. The street was named for them, the Yemenites, named for the Yemenites. When black Muslims started to be attracted to that area, I believe soon after that, a man by the name of Farad, spelled F-A-R-D in the Encyclopedia Britannica, and I believe in some other encyclopedias and perhaps dictionaries too, you'll find his name, spelled F-A-R-D, it's pronounced F-A-R-A-D, Farad. This man was there in the city of Detroit preaching a very strange religion. And I'm using the language that I'm using is the language of the black African Americans that heard his teaching for the first time and described what they heard. Officially, the followers were referred to then as the lost found nation of Islam in North America. However, most often this following was known by the name Holy Temple of Islam, or Holy Temples of Islam. when the Temple of Islam gained notice in the press, in Detroit, and in Chicago, during the early 30s, 1933 and 34, in America, when these temples gained notice, we had no knowledge of any Islam being preached in America. We are aware that there was efforts by two small groups that identified as Muslims. It is to be acknowledged there were two unorthodox religious groups at that time in the early 30s, but they had gained no notice. The imported or older of these groups, the Ahmadi movement it is called, and the other, a homegrown group. I say homegrown because to our knowledge, it all began with an African-American, a black man that is, named Drew Ali. His name was changed. I'm not giving the name that he had before. Later he became known as Noble Drew Ali, a title of respect given to him, Noble Drew Ali. And his group were known as the Moorish Science Temple. The Moorish Science Temple. Both of these unorthodox followings were somewhat alive and active when Wallace Farrar, also called W.D. Farrar and W.F. Muhammad, was forming what Farrar himself named the Lost Foundation of Islam in North America. One pamphlet, a paper booklet of a few pages, gives July the 4th, 1930, as the date for the opening or the beginning of the Nation of Islam in America. These three followings have some worthwhile, noteworthy similarities. All three identify with all Muslims, while at the same time, each sets itself apart from the main body of people who follow Muhammad the prophet of Arabia, prayers and peace be on him. These three, I give their names again so we don't confuse the three. I'm mentioning the Nation of Islam, Lost Foundation of Islam, the Moorish Science Temple, and the Ahmadi movement, also called Ahmadi Anjaman by the Ahmadiyyas. My personal acquaintance with members and with leaders of each group is that each tends to condemn the Orthodox, and I'm using Orthodox in quotation because I have some difficulty with the distinction myself. They have some difficulty with the Orthodox, so-called Orthodox Muslim. Each tends to condemn the Orthodox or the Arab-led mainstream worldwide following of our prophet. When there's any, excuse me, when there's any mentioning of mainstream Muslims, correctly, Muslims, not Muslims, although we know that until recently, the followers of the Prophet who were Muslims were called Muslims. And again, we have to say that Muhammad Ali perhaps had something to do with that too. With reference to the religion, the tendency on the part of these unorthodox groups is to attack mainstream Muslims and their religious life. The three unorthodox groupings or followings treat worldwide Arab-led Islam as something that's spiritless and essence void. There's no essence. No spirit in them. They're dead. Their attack upon the Islamic worth of mainstream Islam may explain their bid for recognition in the following of the Prophet. But in the eyes of worldwide Muslim society, Ahmadis, Moorish Americans, and, quote, black Muslims, are suspected because each tends to promote a prophetic personality said not to be an Arab. The Nation of Islam promotes regard, recognition to Farad, W.D. Farad. First, in the early 30s, as a prophet, and then later, with the rise of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, this man, Farad, began to be known as, or identified as, God manifest in the flesh. God manifest in the flesh. Using the language of the Nation of Islam, God in the person of W.D. Farad, or W.F. Muhammad. The position that I am assuming is that the three shared a damaged regard or respect for the Arabs. When I say damage, I'm referring to history now. Over the history since the early community of the Prophet established in Medina, the city that is second important city to Muslims, Mecca being the first, they, I'm referring to the history that followed that early community of Muslims formed by our Prophet, prayers and peace be on him. What followed was a division. Followed was a division between Muslims. Muslims were divided into two groups. The larger group being what is called Sunni Muslims. The smaller group being what is called the Shiite Muslims. The Shiite Muslims, you will know them to be the Iranians, and they have large numbers in Egypt, in Iraq, and many other places. Their followers of the Shiite thought. In the Nation of Islam, conceived by Farad, the well-earned credit of our Prophet, the legitimate Prophet of Arabia, are kept out of view. There is no question as to an attempt by Farad to reduce the credits of the legitimate messenger of Allah and blow up the image of himself, that is Farad, and to blow up the image of his student, that is Elijah Muhammad. In the eyes of the Nation of Islam's following, to give that following, whose history goes back to slavery, and who during the 1930s was still a discriminated people, disenfranchised people that was not given their rights or full citizenship rights. So this was done to give that following a sense of special worth or a sense of superiority over worldwide Islam or worldwide Muslim community or society. I had a difficulty. That was a real difficulty with me, for me, when I began to study Farad and study his lessons, his words, his catechisms, or whatever we might call them, that he left in the form of little small booklets for the following of the Nation of Islam. These little booklets were often containing just statements of what he called, the teacher called, actual fact. To many, it appears to be just an attempt to give some knowledge of astronomy, some knowledge of health, science, to his followers, and some knowledge of arithmetic or simple mathematics to his followers. Not to overlook the fact that some of his lessons in mathematics or arithmetic were in the language of high school and perhaps even the language of college.
We will return to today's program after these important messages. Imam W.D. Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contribution made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1961, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. W.D. Muhammad and guests a new hour of informative television with an Islamic focus on important issues facing our society today is now being syndicated. For information on how you can get this show in your area, call 1-708-862-7733 or write WDM Publication, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
The difficulty for me was that while on the one side, Farrar identified his own teachings or his own language as actual fact, there seemed to have been a real strong interest in getting the following to see the language of the Nation of Islam as two types of language. One language, a language plainly and simply communicated, and another language kind of esoteric or needing translation, language needing translation. At the same time, this man, which makes the whole thing very complicated, he made a sincere effort, in my opinion, to excite a hunger in his following for the ability or the knowledge to read and understand the Quran of all Muslims in its original text, that is, in the Arabic language. And also, contradictory in his narrations to me was his pointing to the Nation of Islam in America as the real Nation of Islam, while at the same time inviting the following to prepare themselves for days when they will go to Mecca from America, make pilgrimage, or go there by some means, of course, of some circumstances, go to Mecca and be rewarded for their good behavior or for their good Muslim life upon arriving in the city of Mecca. The reward that was promised was mansions, beautiful homes, better than any, Farrar said, that they had seen in America, plenty of gold, plenty of wealth. Now, after studying a little bit of the history concerning the slave trade, and the promise to Europeans and others that were needed here in this world during the early days or the wild wilderness days of this country to attract them here. They were promised gold. They were told that the streets here were paved with gold. So it seems that Farrar just used the same kind of language, and he told us the same. But I got there in Arabia and saw the sand just recently, since the Arabs came into the wealth of all of their oil, that they started paving roads and having cement sidewalks. When I went there in 1967, I saw streets like dirt streets or sand roads, and I saw most of the city, the walkway around the city, through the city and around the block and the stores and business places, just being sand or rocky place, rocky land. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he made a smaller pilgrimage, it's called Umrah. He made that pilgrimage in 58, I believe it was around late 58, 1958. And he returned to America and to his following with a whole new attitude towards worldwide Islam. He said, we can't look to them. Say, they need our help. He said, I wish they would accept me as their leader, so I'd go there and get that place straight. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about the Arabia he saw in 1958. So to me, it was strange that Farrar, having knowledge, himself being a foreigner, being a person who migrated to this country from the Middle East, it was strange to me, or the Far East, we believe now that he really came from what was then known as India, and now as Pakistan, since the separation and the recognition of the Muslims of that area, Pakistan, giving them statehood, or recognizing statehood for the Muslims of that area. But before, in the time of Farad, there was no Pakistan. Pakistan was a late creation, 1947, I believe, Pakistan came into existence. And when Farad was preaching in the early 30s, there was no Pakistan. We believe we have evidence that Farad did not come from Arabia, but he came from that part of India that is now called Pakistan. Anyway, getting back to his Nation of Islam, blowing up this idea that we are the great Nation of Islam and that our match, our equal, is not to be found anywhere, and at the same time telling us that we have to qualify to be accepted in Arabia, where we will be rewarded for our good Muslim behavior or for living a good Muslim life over here. To me, says that Farad was a man who talked out of both sides of his mouth and used very contradictory statements to attract his following to himself. This is not to condemn him. As I go on, you will have to say, well, he's not really condemning him. He's paying tribute to this man. But at this time, I want to say that I don't think there was any intent on the part of Farad or on the part of his student who really established the idea that Farad gave him and made it a reality. There was no part on Elijah Muhammad, or nothing on Elijah Muhammad's part that indicate to me that the honorable Elijah Muhammad was not sincere, or that he had any intent to damage real Islam. Neither his teacher nor he, in my opinion, had any real intent to damage Islam. I conclude the three groups, the Nation of Islam, the Moore Science Temple, the Ahmadis, these three groups formed to free or to rid Islam of an image of Arab greatness that was superimposed upon Islam. Exaggerations of the Arab people's role rather than promoting or giving the role of the Arab language in the history of Islam or in the context of Islam. I believe that these groups slipped into jealousy and began to conduct their own jealous feud, putting into competition the credits of two great prophets, Prophet Muhammad and the Prophet Christ Jesus, peace be upon them. The result, by effect, is a making over the legacy of Muhammad the Prophet, as many Christians made over the legacy of the Prophet Christ Jesus. Upon them both be peace. Our prophet warned against this. He warned against this temptation, and it is reported in the most respected works on the life sayings of our prophet by the Russian Muslim, early Muslim convert, Bukhari, and by another author of this work, his name is Muslim. With the confusion somewhat out of the way, what is to be said regarding Islam in America? And I say somewhat out of the way because there are real similarities between Nation of Islam, Moore Science Temple, and the Ahmadis that I am not going into at this time on this occasion. But I will say this. Some of the most serious charges of distortion, distorting Islam, distortions in the picture of Islam and the imaging of Islam, charges against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his following, or against the Nation of Islam, did not begin at all with us, but started with Ahmadis. And I may include also Shiites and another strange group that was a kind of a renegade group in the history of Islam, the Alawites, I think they are called, Alawites. These people have very strange ideas. One group presented God in the flesh, implied that God was man. Another group introduced an idea that there are 12 great rulers in Islam. Story similar to that we find in other religions. Another group hinted that the white race is the devils, or devils, the guilty blue-eyed. And I've said this because I don't think it's fair for me to just accuse these groups of being much like the Nation of Islam without saying something that I'm sure once it reached once what I'm saying reached the ears of the Arab people, the Ahmadis, the Moorish Science Temple, and the Nation of Islam, they will all know where I'm coming from, if you don't. Now, today there are an estimated 6 million Muslims in the United States. Could be more, could be less. About 3.5 million are believed to be from abroad, migrated, nationalized citizens, or those with green cards studying in America. They all are included in that number. Those acquainted with Islam begins with the Temple of Islam, or the Nation of Islam. When I say acquainted with Islam, I mean with the history of Islam, the popularizing of Islam in America. And their number is about 2.5 million in the United States. The majority share with me and my supporters a very promising outlook for Muslims in America. Will you not think that America doesn't have any accommodation for us or for Muslims? We believe that there is an accommodation in America for Muslims. Islam in America has to mean more recognition in America for the freedom of religion. Why do I say that? Because America came to be with the coming of the Mayflower, the landing on Plymouth Rock, people seeking freedom from religious persecution.
Tune in next week to the public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, see local distributor for Muslim Journal. Thanks for listening. This is the public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. This week we present part two of a lecture by Imam Muhammad recorded on the campus of Southern University in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, November the 4th, 1993.
I conclude the three groups, the Nation of Islam, the Moore Science Temple, the Ahmadis, these three groups formed to free or to rid Islam of an image of Arab greatness that was superimposed upon Islam. Exaggerations of the Arab people's role rather than promoting or giving the role of the Arab language in the history of Islam or in the context of Islam. I believe that these groups slipped into jealousy and began to conduct their own jealous feud, putting into competition the credits of two great prophets, Prophet Muhammad and the Prophet Christ Jesus, peace be upon them. The results by effect is a making over the legacy of Muhammad the Prophet, as many Christians made over the legacy of the Prophet Christ Jesus. Upon them both be peace. Our Prophet warned against this. He warned against this temptation, and it is reported in the most respected works on the life sayings of our Prophet by the Russian Muslim, early Muslim convert, Bukhari, and by another author of this work, his name is Muslim. With the confusion somewhat out of the way, what is to be said regarding Islam in America? And I say somewhat out of the way because there are real similarities between Nation of Islam, Morse Science Temple, and the Ahmadis that I am not going into at this time on this occasion. But I will say this. Some of the most serious charges of distortion, distorting Islam, distortions in the picture of Islam and the imaging of Islam, charged against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his following or against the Nation of Islam, did not begin at all with us, but started with Ahmadis, and I may include also Shiites, and another strange group that was a kind of a renegade group in the history of Islam, the Alawites, I think they are called, Alawites. These people have very strange ideas. One group presented God in the flesh, or implied that God was man. Another group introduced an idea that there are 12 great rulers in Islam. Stories similar to that we find in other religions. Another group hinted that the white race are the devils, or devils, the guilty blue-eyed. And I've said this because I don't think it's fair for me to just accuse these groups of being much like the Nation of Islam without saying something that I'm sure once it reached once what I'm saying reached the ears of the Arab people, the Ahmadis, the Moore Science Temple, and the Nation of Islam, they will all know where I'm coming from. if you don't. Now, today there are an estimated 6 million Muslims in the United States. Could be more, could be less. About 3.5 million are believed to be from abroad, migrated, nationalized citizens, or those with green cards studying in America. They all are included in that number. Those acquainted with Islam begins with the temple of Islam or the nation of Islam. When I say acquainted with Islam, I mean with the history of Islam, the popularizing of Islam in America. And their number's about 2.5 million in the United States. The majority share with me and my supporters a very promising outlook for Muslims in America. We do not think that America doesn't have any accommodation for us or for Muslims. We believe that there is an accommodation in America for Muslims. Islam in America has to mean more recognition in America for the freedom of religion. Why do I say that? Because America came to be with the coming of the Mayflower, the landing on Plymouth Rock, people seeking freedom from religious persecution, who took great risk to travel the sea, across the ocean, risk diseases, plagues, diseases, etc., accident on the high seas, and survival in a new territory that was not yet explored or made safe for them. Those people left their own countries or nations, came to this new land, this new area here, new world, taking great risks because they wanted to practice their religion and be free to do that. When we join them and identify ourselves also as Americans, then we, in my opinion, we make a contribution to the freedom of religion. The genuineness of this democracy has been tested by the bid from Jews to have their life and their religion recognized in these United States, and by the bid from Muslims to have our life and our religion recognized by the people, by the laws, and by the people of these United States. Islam in America has to mean more brave citizens prepared to contribute to this democracy, contribute to the progress of this society. Education, as a basic religious value, is respected in Islam and is understood by most Muslims. This country, its people, have done great things to advance education and make possible good education for all of its citizens and for many people of the world, in spite of the fact that we have had a decline in the quality of our schools and the quality of education for us recently. We must acknowledge that the American people of this land improved upon education and made education great, attractive, useful to its citizens and to many people of this world, or the earth. Islam in America has to mean more resources from a significant body of Americans, that is Muslim, to assist the effort of the United States improving and improving education for the citizens, the quality of education for its citizens. The Prophet Muhammad said, knowledge, that is education, higher education, is the lost possession of the believers. He said, any man who will educate two daughters will be given paradise. And he said, go as far as China in search of knowledge. And he said, scholars, those who devote themselves to education, to improving education, making improvements for education, they will be in ranks in heaven after, in the afterlife, they will be in ranks or in quarters right next to the prophets themselves. And he said many other things to establish that to get an education, to respect real knowledge, and to acquire an education is a religious duty on every Muslim, and I give the quote of the Prophet's own words, both male and female. When Islam is clearly understood, it will be seen in the forefront. Islam will be seen in the forefront as an influence serving ethical progress, that is, the progress of our ethical society. And I do believe that in spite of all the moral problems we have, we do have an ethical society here in America. It has to mean also more support from the American people, because we are joining the American people behind the best aspirations of all the people. While Islam knows no separation, that establish a secular society and a spiritual society, we see this as a deformity in human society and in the human that buys that separation, that on the one side we have a secular life and on the other side a spiritual life, and these two are differing with each other, are opposed to each other. For us, that's not acceptable. But at the same time, Muslims appreciate the progress that has been made in the secular quarters of the world. And we identify the good progress that is made by the secular efforts, or efforts in the secular quarter of the world, as progress or as achievements that God made possible and intended for his creatures to realize or to achieve or have. Al-Islam in America has to mean more support and more resources given to advance the American people in science, in technology, in commerce, in industry, etc. Because while Islam emphasizes or makes more important peace with God, peace with our own soul, the reward in the heaven or in paradise or in the afterlife, it cautions us to respect and not neglect our duty to realize to the fullest opportunities in this material world. God says, وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. To seek with the means that God has made possible the hereafter. But don't neglect your share in the material world, this material world. With that, I conclude my talk, my address, and hope that you have some knowledge of Islam as a religion that I would say reflect the best universal teachings, beliefs, aspirations, and values of mankind on this earth. In my opinion, this religion has strong appeal for the people who appreciate beauty, for the people who appreciate the unknown, for mystics, and also for the very practical person, for the professional person, the teacher, the professor, the doctor, the engineer, the soldier, anyone who has a legitimate place in society. Islam gives him equal recognition. Thank you very much. Peace be on you. And now I wait to see what will... Yes.
We will return to today's program after these important messages. Imam W. Dean Muhammad will be making appearances throughout the country, and believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contribution made payable to Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad and mailed to Post Office Box 1961, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. W. Dean Muhammad and guests, a new hour of informative television with an Islamic focus on important issues facing our society today, is now being syndicated. For information on how you can get this show in your area, call 1-708-862-7733 or write WDM Publication, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. And now back to today's program.
We now have plenty of time for questions, and I hope that you'll fully take advantage of the opportunity to ask them. You're welcome to ask him questions about any of the areas that Imam Sharif suggested earlier, including everything from religious views, the role of Islam, his views on political questions worldwide, whatever. But please, if you can reach the microphones in the aisles, that would be nice, because then we can all very clearly hear your questions. If you're wedged in and can't, we'll just stand and we'll recognize you. But if you can use the mic, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Ahmed Bisheri. I sell from a Muslim family, Muslim parent. I first thank you for you give this your time and coming here and inform us. But I supposed to see a different Islam in America. I have been in Europe, of course, in Islam countries too. I have first question in introduction. When they presented, I heard you support Palestinian, Bosnia, and Kashmir people. And the interesting, those people question is a conflict with other. One is with Jewish, the other with Orthodox Christian, or Catholic Christian, the other with Hindu. But I wonder if you forget one of them, our time's worst genocide is continuing in Islam countries like Iraq against Kurdish people. 5,000 Kurdish city and village have been destroyed last 20 years. And Kurdish people still in the big heart from Iraq's fascist regime. In Iran, Ayatollah Shia regime continue their genocide against Kurdish people, supposed Kurdish people and Muslim. In Turkey, as 3-4 weeks ago, one Kurdish city have been destroyed with 10,000 population, and genocide against Kurdish people continue. This post in Islam be equality, this post no discrimination. In other, you spoke about, I wonder how you can forget this genocide go, because it's when Muslim countries doing, it is legitimate. And the other, I never heard from any Islam organization that they have strongly opposed again this kind of barbarism in Islam world. And the second one, when you told about in Islam's as Prophet Muhammad and Jesus is equal, I wonder if you forget in Islam described David, Prophet David, Jewish, and Moses is equal to recognized by Islam. Anyway, thank you. I hope I can give possibility ask one more question later. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Now I'll answer the last first question first because it's the quickest to answer, and that is that I accept everything you've said is true, and all knowledgeable Muslims know that and accept that. And there is no desire on my part to do anything but acknowledge all that God has revealed for mankind through the last prophet, the prayers and peace be on him. As for the first question, I'm aware, in fact I met with one of the Kurdish leaders. I'm aware of the persecution of the Kurdish people. My heart was very saddened when I learned what was happening. And I think that you are right, you are correct. We should do more to bring the attention to the persecution of the Kurdish people, bring more attention to that persecution wherever it's existing, in Iraq and wherever else it's existing, so that pressure will be brought to bear on those that are being inhuman and are calling themselves Muslims to their fellow citizens. I agree with you, and I just regret that we are not doing enough.
What do you feel the role of women in Islam is in America and internationally?
Yes. I wish that some of our sisters were here to answer the question for me, because some of them now are very informed as to what freedoms or what rights are given women in Islam, and they could speak better for themselves than I can could speak for them. But I would say that we should take an indication from, first of all, from the treatment of women rights in the early history of Islam by the Prophet, prayers and peace be on him, and the leaders who were acquainted with him and lived after him and continued that excellent tradition of Islam with regards to the freedom or rights, or the recognition of rights of women. We have language in our holy book that, if not correctly understood or not seen in the full context of references to the equality of male and female, or the inequality, because we must acknowledge that where there is an equality for the sexes, there is also an inequality. I don't believe in being overly sentimental or being fanatical in any concern or with any concern. And we have to acknowledge first that there is an inequality for the sexes. In many respects, my wife is superior to me, and I know that. And I'm sure she will acknowledge that in some respects I'm superior to her. But when it comes to human work, and possibilities for the human being, to make the answer short, I'm convinced
as a student of the Quran, as a student of the teachings of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and as a student of Islamic society, I am convinced that men and women, male and female, are equal. And I used to think, I say, well, yes, they have the same soul, they have the same potential and intelligence, the same potential and same intelligence. Yes, I acknowledge all that. I said, but socially they are not prepared for certain roles that we have. I said, and they don't have our muscles. But lately they have women, you know, and they frighten me. I don't want to run into any of them, you know. So I don't know where that inequality is right now. I'm having difficulty finding it. But I'm sure there's an inequality that we have to respect. But more important for us as Muslims, and for, I think, for most of the religions, more important is to preserve tradition that have served us well for many, many generations. And I tell the sisters in our community, I said, say, look, society as a whole, if women all together become equal to us in the work field, and equal to us in all of this, this special role, a special role for the man, the macho thing goes. I said, how come you can't, the women collectively, can't be like the single woman who knows she can slap her husband down anytime she wants to. But she said, yes, darling, I'll do it right away. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Well, I think because man needs this. He needs this. So no matter how much stronger you get to be over us, equal or superior, please, women, still give us this mercy. Give us this mercy. Give us something special. Say, honey, go out there and see what that trouble is in the backyard.
Buddy, man, what is your view on gay rights?
On gay rights? Did you say gay rights? All right. That's a question. That's a good question. Now, I have one real concern. You know, if they had homosexuals in Lot's time, I don't expect for them to go away in our time. But I have one serious question. Recently, you know, the President of the United States, President Bill Clinton, he gave support to the acceptance of gays in the military. Now, my problem is this. If they're really to be identified not as males, not as male like me, then they shouldn't sleep with me and they shouldn't shower with me. That's my only problem.
Yes, sir. Imam, sir, my name is Kareem Ali.
Yes.
I felt I would like to comment on what you said about the equality between the male and female, in the sense that I agree that men and women are equal in a human sense, but we also have to realize that in an unperverted sense, there is, like you said, an inequality. In other words, each is superior to the other, each is supportively inferior to the other, each is sensitively interior to the other, and each is liberatedly exterior to the other. And so in that sense, I think that we have to recognize that, and if we look at the way the family is structured Islamically, the reason that this perverted way is coming out is because there's a lot of confusion about these roles, and there are certain roles that are definitely for females and definitely for males in the sense of the way Islamic society is structured. And what you, comment on what you said about the president and the homosexual, in the Constitution it is said that my freedom stops where your nose begins. And the thing that's coming out now is that the homosexuals have always been in the military, they've always been in society, they've always had important positions, but now they're getting to the point of arrogance and trying to push these things on the heterosexual. And I know I experienced some things here recently in this area.
Tune in next week to the public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman for human salvation. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, see local distributor for Muslim Journal. Thanks for listening.